Hello and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy.
Welcome, 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 Sarah Balmer. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Kathy. I'm really excited to be here. This is something new and I'm looking forward to it.
New's good, I reckon. I think the right amount of new for the right reasons is usually a good thing in business.
Yes, I agree. It's exciting.
So we get to share a bit of your story, your adventure so far. So for listeners, Sarah's a psychologist and the founding director of Sarah Balmer Psychology for Kids, situated up on the very beautiful northern shores in Sydney. Tell us about the fish tank and your beautiful rooms.
Okay, so it's a big 5-foot fish tank full of beautiful, colourful African cichlids, and it's a bit of a hobby of mine. It's something that kids walk in and go, wow, when they see them. The fish are quite little characters, and we've also got a bright blue yabby in there that's really quite funny. So it draws the kids in. It's a lovely way of, for new kids that are a bit anxious before coming in, they want to tell me about all the things they've seen the fish do. So it just adds a really nice vibe to the waiting room, and it's a bit of fun for me. I love fish keeping. I've also got in my playroom a baby fish tank with babies in them. So, and they grow up and then they go out into the big fish tank or get given away. So it's like they come in and go, oh, look how big the babies are now, or, oh, now we've got new little babies. So it's a bit of fun.
I reckon the grown-ups are having more fun with the fish tank than the kids, hearing that.
So the baby fish tank, some people do have fish tanks and in their home, and so the child says, can I have some when they're grown up? And then they take them home. And then we talk about the story of their fish in their fish tanks, and, yeah, so it's pretty cool.
I love that. It is very cool. It is beyond cool. It is beyond cool. What else do we see in your rooms? Who's there? Who's on the team? What do you get up to?
Yeah, so we've got sort of 5 rooms, but we've got 3 proper sized rooms. 2 of them are playrooms that we've sort of slowly decorated and made like really fun. And what I try and make is every room, when someone walks in, they go, wow, for the first time. Cool. If the kids go, oh, cool, and the parents go, wow, this is nice. So the 2 playrooms are like that. We've got like a big cloud sack and hanging glass balloons and a big doll's house and things set up to play, so they're just really inviting. And then we have 1 room, which is the comfy lounge room that the young people love, and that's got a kind of done up art deco lounge that's pretty cool.
I've seen that lounge. I totally know the red one you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, so my hubby's really into art deco, so that was his project. And so that's a really, and it's got an old sort of big old sort of transistor radio. It's quite a beautiful wooden thing in there, and a roll top desk, and it's still a work in progress, that room. So that's a nice place. And the young people always love going in there. They've got like big comfy cushions and the giant sloth if anyone needs to hug something soft, and a weighted blanket, soft blanket, like all that kind of stuff. So that's a nice room too. And what else do we have? We've also got a really big veranda here in our office, which is going to be a nice garden eventually. But, you know, these projects take time.
They do. And if we kind of springboard from that word of time, when did you start your business?
Gosh, I started in probably late 2009, early 2010. And what I was doing was I was working 4 days a week in disability services, and I just started one day a week in my, just doing my own private practice, working, renting a room, and then I just grew from there until I was doing like 50-50. Always renting a room. I worked in a GP practice for a while. I worked, then I rented out my own room and sort of grown from there. Now we're sort of in our own office that's been fitted out exactly how I want it. It's good.
What made you take the plunge to quit your job and go full Monty into your own business?
That's a good question. I think when I think back to it, I think I should have done it, 12, 18 months, even 2 years earlier than I did. I just kind of thought I could have it all, thought I could do it all and do it all well, and that just wasn't the case. So I was working like kind of in the NDIS world in an NGO. And things just kind of, just the values didn't align with my values, I suppose, to try and say that in a positive way. And it was more and more getting me down. In the end I decided, you know what, like I could do this all full time myself and be totally fine. Then I finally took the plunge. And I think, look, my husband was nagging me about it for 12 months. Come on, you know, you can totally do this. What are you waiting for? But, I think it was just about believing in myself and just going, okay, that's it, I'm doing it. Draw the line in the sand. Yeah.
What did you think it was going to be like?
It's funny, like I always thought I would just be a sole practitioner and just be happy with that. And I was really happy with that. But we had the suite that we're in is an investment property. And with COVID, the tenants had to close their business and move out. And we couldn't get a tenant for it. So it was almost like the universe pushed me here to go, no, it's not just going to be you. You need to grow now. You've got this really big space. Do something with it. Again, another push, isn't it, you know? So I didn't think I would be calling myself director/psychologist. I just thought, psychologist, yep, I'm working on my own. That's enough for me. But I like it, you know, I like, and I have now new sort of ideas and plans and always something that I want to do, which is exciting. It's kind of that more entrepreneurial side, I think, which I've never been like that before.
COVID provided lots of taps on the shoulders.
Yes, definitely. Some that didn't feel so good, and then others like were just opportunities. I think definitely in allied health, I would have to say since COVID, like before COVID, I had a bit of a waiting time, but since COVID, my wait list is just out of control. Like I look at it and I just feel completely overwhelmed, and I have to close it and then go, okay, right, what can I do for these people that are waiting? Because, you know, these are all parents that are probably waking up at 2 a.m. worrying about their kids.
You mentioned earlier about your values and misalignment with the previous people you're working with. How do your values kind of show up now?
Becoming an NDIS provider, that was a whole process of writing all that stuff out and having all the policies and procedures and vision, mission, values, all of that. So that was a really good process to get me to think that out loud and to put it down in a way that was, you know, what we're all about. So one of the things that I wrote was, you know, that whole idea of how you do anything is how you do everything. And that's really important to me with every single thing. And I think my cultural background of my family is Swiss, and the Swiss are like, you go to Switzerland, I don't know if you've been to Switzerland, Kathy, but everything is perfect. Everything is tidy and clean, and they're a little bit kind of anal. So I don't want to be that, you know, extreme.
Not quite that Swiss.
No.
But I think Swiss.
Yeah. So for me, it's like how, you know, the chairs, I want the chairs like looking tidy in the waiting room. I don't want them all messy, because then it looks like, well, it's whatever. The bathroom is that the clients use, it's got to be nice. The room has got to be tidy and wow. The way we communicate, the way we do everything, even if it seems little, basically says, you know, you're important, you know, every little thing is important. And then, of course, the way we work with our clients, it translates in the bigger picture. So I think what I want clients to get when they come is to feel like they leave with something, feel like they have been heard, feel like that person on the other side of the lounge or the table or in the playroom actually does care and is holding that parent or child or client in with them in that moment, and not, you know, and is 100% with them. And I suppose the other thing, like thinking about working in NGO sector versus working in my practice and being able to decide, was not wanting to be money driven. Money isn't the first thing. You do the best job that you can do, and then the money flows from that rather than the other way around. It did feel very much like, oh, you know, you have to do this many percentage billables, otherwise you're the worst employee. Every 5 minutes you have to charge, all of that. It was really, it just felt like it was all about the dollar sign. And I never want clients to feel like that when they come here. That's not the number one discussion. The number one discussion is the work that we do and the, you know, the good outcomes for the people that come here.
Yeah. What do your clients say about the experience they have working with you and your team?
It's interesting. Some don't really say anything. And so you're like, oh, so I have to say, are you happy with how things are going? Is this the right pace for you? How are things? Thinking about when you came here and this and this and this was a problem, how's that going? And maybe part of that is how busy everyone is and that we don't really take the time to reflect and go, actually, those things are really improved. Things are really better, because we're all just sometimes feel like we're, you know, running the wheel of life, so busy. Although, like, funny you should say, I finished the other day with a client, and I always say, look, I'm always here if you need me, but I think you're doing awesome. And the mother said to me, she was so, she, I could see tears in her eyes. It was like, oh, wow. She said, oh, you've worked magic here. Mm. And I was like, well, actually, no, it was actually this little child that's done the work and you as well. But it was just really nice for her to say, like, you know, these are all the things that are different. It's been a really great experience. And I think maybe more than clients telling me a lot of things like that, it's what people say when they come to see me is, oh, I've waited for you because I've read all these things about you. When I wrote on whatever social media page, who's a good psychologist, all these people are chiming in about you. And it's like, oh, really? Wow. I don't really sit on those pages. But I think word of mouth is strong as far as people being happy. Yeah, so that's a nice feeling.
Yeah. I kind of got the impression that you've got an incredibly awesome reputation locally.
Oh, thanks. And that was something when I started, I was like, I want to be, I don't like the word famous because it makes me go, ooh, I hate being the center of attention, but I want to be the go-to person. Uh-huh. I want to be the person that people think about locally when they need a psychologist that works with kids.
Do you think you've achieved that?
I think so, by the wait list. and also, so I'm starting, when I think about this huge wait list, I'm starting to think about, so what things could I not do so much? You know, what things are draining for me? And definitely I love doing assessments, but the reports just like really drain me. Yeah. And I'm a bit of a perfectionist. I think I do too much in a report, you know. So I have been collaborating with another colleague locally who wants the reports and the assessments and things, and trying to send people over to her. They're like, no, we'll wait. Okay, but yeah. So, and whereas, and she's a clinical psychologist, so she's got that next level of awesomeness. Mm. And even then, you know, trying to sell her in that way, it's like, okay, well, it's a long wait, you know.
That sort of positive, glowing reputation is no accident. Like, it just doesn't happen A, overnight, or B, by magic. Tell us a bit about your team. Small but mighty.
I've got Anthony Nguyen, who's my psychologist intern, and he's been with us for about 10 months now. And his background is working with kids on the spectrum, doing ABA therapy and doing other behavioural therapy. He's also done like men's mentoring and like cool things like that. And he is a lovely, calm, chill guy who just connects so beautifully with the kids. They run through the door to come and see him. Ah, oh, Anthony. Yeah, they love
the fish
him.
Tank. Pass Sarah. Where's my friend?
I think too. Also, I've had some of my clients, which is great, that where he's come and worked with me in, you know, as a shadow or in tandem in sessions, and they've gone, we like him, we want to see him, which is wonderful, because then it means I can take someone else that's on my waiting list on, but it just also means they've made this lovely connection with him. And he does great work and he's really creative. He's starting to feel more confident in his learning, and then use what he's learned in new and creative ways to engage kids. So he's started a project with Minecraft, using Minecraft as a platform to talk about things. Mm. It's especially great for kids that don't want to talk about their feelings or just don't even want to come to therapy. They love it. Yeah. So, like, it can be a telehealth thing, but mostly how he does it is the child brings in their laptop and they sit side by side together talking, doing stuff, and it's, so it's got that personal connection to, as well. So it's going great, yeah.
Yay. Who else is in the team?
So James Mackay is my admin. And thank goodness for him. So many times I think that he's amazing. Yeah, he's amazing with all the IT stuff that I'm absolutely terrible with. He's just is a lovely, calm guy. And the parents go, oh, yeah, he's really nice. He's very calm. He's very friendly, very helpful. So we sit down every week together. We have a weekly meeting and go over what's the next project, what's the next project. And that's what he's always saying. Okay, what's going to be this week's thing? He's very keen. So it's good. Yeah, so I've got a really great team. It's nice to come to work to a lovely place with awesome people.
Gather around, dear listeners, for a moment of sheer audio delight. You may have heard, but we love to chat with allied health business owners. We get inspired hearing about your aspirations, the challenges you face, the roadblocks that get in your way, and business realities. So we invite you to book a free power call with a Naker Consulting business specialist, regardless of where you're at in business. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed or overworked or overjoyed. We're here for you, and we'll meet you exactly where you are, judgment-free. It's okay to book a second or even a third call. We're always keen to hear all your news. Book a free power call with us today at naker.com.au/free-power-call. Let's get the convo ball rolling. Now it's time to get back to our regularly scheduled banter.
Running a business isn't just about setting up shop and becoming complacent. It's about showing up for ourselves and our clients with a commitment to continuous improvement. We have to be honest with ourselves about where we're at and where we're going. That means identifying strengths and weaknesses so we can improve. After all, if we're remaining stagnant, how can we scale and build the business and life of our dreams? That's where the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz comes in. We're not talking horoscopes and horoscopia. This questionnaire is the perfect starting point for you to begin identifying your strengths, needs, and blind spots as an allied health business owner. The process is simple. Answer the 14 questions and we'll send you a personalized report that includes actionable steps for you to start taking your business to the next level. Ready to take your business into your own hands? Take the NACAR Consulting Allied Health Biz Quiz today.
So I'm curious about what you're learning about the systems needed to run a business. Because you got that keen being there on the front desk.
Yes.
Rubbing his hands together with bring it on.
Yep.
Systemize this thing. Where's that at?
Yeah, so when I did all the stuff for the NDIS audits, there were a lot of systems that I had some help from Audit Hub, which are amazing ladies, and they helped me with the systems. They had a lot of templates and things, and then we put bits and pieces relating to the practice in. So I've got the guidelines and the bare bones, but as I'm training up Anthony and as, you know, James is there, I'm learning there are more things I need to plug in the gaps. James is also, so when I show him something, I say, now, can you do me a little cheat sheet type thing? Can you put the screenshots in for how to do that? So we've got that there for anyone else that needs to do it. So he's kind of growing those bits and pieces for me as well. I did listen to Systemology And I'm like, oh, that is something that I want to kind of work on as well. I suppose, give it a bit more finesse.
Get James reading the book, and then he can join us all drinking the coffee on that one.
That's a good idea. Yes, I'll do that.
What we kind of, you know about businesses that are growing and are wanting that real commitment to quality and consistency is that systems kind of sit there gluing all the people's thinking together. It's a sizable investment, but you know, it's also a bit of a ticket to freedom and less Q&A and less FAQs and less near misses and infrastructure to have, I reckon.
Yes, absolutely. And some of the things, this is what I'm learning, I suppose, with my intern, is some of the things that I think are obvious are not, you know. And I do, I need to document that stuff. How on earth does someone else know that? They can't read my mind about the way I do things. So I need to make it out there so that everyone knows the same thing and why as well.
So as the director, where does your business sort of thinking go across a typical week? What are some of your director tasks?
And I think I wish I was a little bit more not streamlined, organized maybe with this, because I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to blah 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 this for the finances.
A little bit more Swiss.
Payroll. But yeah, a little bit more Swiss. Yes. What am I talking about? But yeah, so I think I don't have a this is my day for this or this is my day for that. I just go, okay, what do I need to do? Okay, I'm going to do that this morning. I'm going to do that then. And then if something else happens and I've got to put a fire out, then that doesn't get done. So for me, I think my thinking of the future, what I need to do is step back and do less clinical and have more time for being a bit more Swiss with the way I run the practice and am working on the business. I'm kind of in this in-between place where I've grown and what goes with that, all the costs, but I'm not really making that much more money yet to kind of cover that. So things are tight. And so I feel like I kind of still need to keep bringing in the money as far as the face-to-face work for now. Mm-hmm. Anthony's caseload is building, which is helping, and that will kind of help me breathe a bit more. And I am trying to hire a registered psychologist to help me with my wait list, especially those ones that are Medicare mental health care plans, because an intern can't do those because they don't have a provider number. So I think once I can breathe a little bit more cost-wise and financially wise, that will be my next thing, is to go, right, these are my mornings, these are my days when I am just working on the business, and I'm putting that block of time aside for this is what the bookkeeper wants, this is, you know, marketing, this is like all the different things, and I'm a bit more organized with it.
Which parts of working on the business do you enjoy the most?
I think the thinking about, you know, Anthony and James, the plan for them, developing them, I quite like that, you know, like what's going to be in our team meeting, how are we going to grow together as a team, what's the next step for Anthony, how can I build his confidence, you know, and teach him something new that would be the obvious next step in his kind of growth professionally. I really enjoy that. I think, Kathy, you've helped me a lot with the marketing, because marketing for me has always been, I'm selling myself, yuck. But it's actually turned into something a little bit fun.
Totally fun. I'm loving what I'm seeing. I was
thank you.
Stuff this morning. Like, love, love, love.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for liking and loving. Yeah. So it's getting to be a bit more fun, just understanding how to, put different things out there and, so I quite like that.
Do you flip that switch from fear to fun with getting yourself out there?
How do I do that?
Yeah, how do you do it? It's not easy.
Yeah, well, I'm sort of at that next thing with I want to do a Facebook Live, and that for me is absolute fear, because it's not just something recorded. It's like, oh my gosh, if I mess it up, the world will see it real time. I've said, James, I'm having trouble with this, building this post, and can you set it up for me, and how do you do it? And then we've done that, and then all the Canva didn't match with the thing, the Facebook post, and it all looked wonky. So I said, leave it now. I can't look at this anymore. And I haven't gone back to it.
Whoa.
Because of my fear. So this morning I was thinking, no excuses, I'm still doing it, even if it's, because it's meant to be in a week's time. I'm like, that's a bit short notice. No, I'm doing it. Even if I'm talking to nobody, I've got enough that I can talk about. It's going to be about anxiety. I could talk underwater for an hour about anxiety. So I can do it.
The irony.
No one's there.
The irony of the topic is not lost on me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Yes. So I think to answer your question, sorry, I got a bit sidetracked, but how do I do it? How do I go from fear to that, flip that switch? I think it's just do it. It's that whole Nike thing of just get out there and just do it. And then it's not so bad. It's always not so bad, and then it turns into, I can do this. What else can I do? What else can I do, and grow from there.
Yeah. Done beats perfect.
I agree. Yes.
Yeah. Done beats perfect. Well, I'm going to keep a little eye out for that Facebook Live now.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. And I guess it's that piece around imagining how it's going to feel when it's done as well, and when you're just that old thing and you're totally up for what's next.
Yep. The next Facebook Live. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. What other parts of being a director and working on the business do you enjoy? You enjoy setting up opportunities for your employees and growing them. What else? What other bits are good?
I like, this sounds a bit me-ish, but I like having things done the way that I want them to be done, and like not to micromanage, but as an overall umbrella, this is the way we do things around here. And passing that on. So like one of the ways I work, and this is like in my business as a psychologist, that's come from when I was doing my internship, is I love to work collaboratively, like in a multidisciplinary kind of way, for clients. So my internship was with New South Wales Disability Services, and it was such a fantastic, amazing place to work with these really experienced, super therapists of all different disciplines. And the thing I remember about it was, you'd be working in your little pod and there'd always be this little chatter going on, but it wasn't about, the latest gossip magazine, Kim Kardashian thing. It was about you know, oh, I just went out to school and I just saw little Johnny for the first time and I noticed you're allocated. How can we work together? Or I was just wondering about this idea to do with, you know, this person. So it's always client focused and, and I loved that. It was so, so collaborative. And by working together, you'd come up with really great ideas and always do good work. Just that high level of commitment. And I missed that when I came out into the private sector. I really missed that. So I started setting that up with parents that were on board with it and therapists that were on board with it. And it grew and it involved schools. And then we'd end up with these amazing plans for these clients and working together on these goals, where really that plan was so much greater than just the sum of its parts, because we were working together. That sounds a bit cliche-ish, but it really is true. And the parents are just so happy with that. And before COVID, I sort of scooped together a whole lot of local pediatric professionals, and we were doing annual parents forums where we'd have a theme and we'd all talk about how we as each discipline work together and how we worked in our own way about that. As a kind of education, COVID sort of killed it, but we're going to be picking that up again.
I've just written it down, Sarah. We're going to talk about that. That's really cool.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it was such a great thing. And the last one we did was the room was just busting with people. We had preschool educators that had heard about it turning up. We had SLSOs, the teacher's aides, special needs teachers, parents. We had heaps of people in that room. And we had everyone gave a quick talk about that topic. And then we had a panel where, people could write their questions down and we would all answer them as a panel in a collaborative way. It was really super cool. Yeah.
That's cool. I do wonder whether teaming around the child was the way we used to talk about it, whether it is good luck rather than good management at times. And it's one thing to have a commitment to it, but it's quite another to actually make it really happen on a functional, intentional level.
Yeah, it is. It does take quite a bit of work to scoop people together. And even just to schedule, let's do a Zoom meeting, everybody. Trying to find a time where everyone can all make it can be challenging, but it is totally worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I totally get how that attracts and holds your director gaze. What has being a business owner taught you about yourself?
I suppose, like, I've always been, it's not really go-getter, but it's like I've always been like, what else can I learn? What else can I do? And like really kind of self-driven. To learn more and do more and be better and be the best I can be. And I think as a therapist, like, you know, learning all new modalities and all of that and, you know, doing that in therapy. But then I think as a business owner, it's hard. It's really hard. I think being a parent is really hard. I think that's harder. But being a small business owner is really hard, and it's so much a roller coaster. And there have been times where I've gone, I just stuff this. No, I just want to go and get a job. Like things would be easier. But I think the kind of person I am, I need to be doing this and I can do this. So just to be able to know it, things can be, you know, rock bottom-y sometimes and disappointing and stressful and confusing, but I can do this. I'm strong. Yeah. I think it's sort of shown me that more.
Mm. Can you remember that Japanese proverb? I'm not going to get this right, but I'm sure they'll get it right in the show notes. It's something along the lines of fall down 7 times, get up 8. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard that?
I didn't know of a Japanese proverb, but that's sort of, I think it's like Tony Robbins. I don't know if you know Tony Robbins. Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows him. He says stuff like that you know, like, you know, you only fail if you don't get up and have another go, basically. Yeah. That's the only way you can fail is if you stop. If you keep going, you just keep making mistakes. You haven't failed. You've learned something.
Yes. I think that often sums up Allied Health business quite well. It probably sums up business full stop. But, you know, it's about digging in and what's it going to take for you to get back on your feet and give it what you want for the next month, quarter, year, what have you.
Yeah. I think having supportive people also is helpful, you know, like, it's really great to dial in and talk to the other Allied Health business owners and hear their questions and ask my question. And, you know, is like a highlight of the month for me. I really enjoy it. It sounds a bit nerdy, but anyway, it's true. Really good to be surrounded by other people that are doing the same thing. And then I've made connections. Oh, you know, I'm doing that too. Do you want to get together for coffee, or do you want to have a phone call to share ideas? Yeah. That's good.
It gets lonely, and you can get a little bubbly in your own thinking patterns, and you're not always sure what options are or how others would tackle things. So, yeah, community and content are very, very, very useful. What can you tell us in these last few minutes about this entrepreneurial brain of yours? Like, what are you thinking about getting done in the next little while?
So, I know we've talked in groups about like school holidays or the downtime. For me personally, as a psychologist, it's not. School holiday coming up, it's already booked out. Like, I might have 1 or 2 hours free. But for Anthony, his school holidays are quiet because a lot of his clients will take a break. And so I'm thinking, what can be the next thing for him, which is social skills groups. Everyone's waiting for them around here. And he's got that lovely vibe to him. So that's the next thing. So I'm always thinking about what's the next project, what's the next little marketing thing, how can I, you know, grow Anthony in what he does so he's enjoying and having variety and also busy entrepreneurially. Yep. And then I suppose my next thing is, you know, hello, registered psychologist that wants to come and work, you know, in the way we work, please come and, you know, and that will be another next step as well. It will be amazing to have someone else to collaborate with and work with.
Yeah. What do you think your business is going to look like in 5 years' time?
Oh, my gosh. I'm hoping that I always kind of wanted to have other allied health professionals as well. I think that would be awesome because then you've got that collaborative environment under the one roof, that multidisciplinary team. I would love that as a future thing. But in the meantime, like the amount of people that want psychology, like to grow the team, you know, of psychologists would be amazing. I would love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And the fish will keep growing and the fish will get bigger and you'll be able to go away. More fish will go home to new homes with the little people that you've helped. I love that.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's nice to, but and they say, oh, next time, can we bring a container and can we have some, you know? So, yes, it's a nice vibe.
Yeah. Do you see yourself doing less and less and less and potentially no clinical work and more directoring and leadering?
My husband encourages this for the future. and I'm like, oh, I love my clients so much. But I would like to do a little bit less because I am tired. You know, like we've got this lovely property where we don't spend enough time there, and I've got fruit trees and I've got, you know, things I love doing. I just love pottering in the garden. It all looks a bit overgrown and not so great. I just love to have a little bit more time to just be in nature and be there. It's a lovely quiet environment. I think my body needs that too as I'm getting a bit older too. So yes, definitely a little bit less work, a bit more directoring, and then maybe, you know, maybe working 4 days instead of five or something. So to have a bit more rest.
One of my motivations, and it wasn't a revelation that I arrived at myself, it was pointed out to me repeatedly that as a clinician, I'm sure I've said this on the podcast, so people might just be turning the volume down. As a clinician, I could see 30 clients a week, but as a director, I could run a team that could see 300.
And help so many more people.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like that. Yeah.
I'll leave that for you to brew on.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I have thoroughly enjoyed hearing a bit more detail around what you guys are up to. What would you like to leave in the ears and hearts and minds of people listening? You can have the final say here.
Yeah, I think I suppose as a director, the thing I would say is, you know, well, it's my message to myself is, yes, it's hard, but just keep going because it's so worth it. And as a clinician, I would say, you know, anything you can do to collaborate with others adds just so much more value for the client and also to your own therapy. It's a really cool model and a great way of working, and then building relationships and then supporting each other as well, because it's hard at the moment. There's so many people out there that are really struggling, and that takes away your own energy to be able to be, you know, in a bit of a buzz with others. It's kind of win-win for everyone.
Thank you so, so, so much. And looking forward to the next installment. I think we should do this again soon.
Okay. I've really enjoyed it. It's been wonderful. Yay.
There you go. Thank you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.